We're doing the Chazon Ish, Emuna u'Bitachon. We're up to page Mem Tet, the bottom paragraph, fourth chapter, eighth section. And the Chazon Ish had discussed this idea that when a person is diligent and meticulous in the observance of the Shulchan Aruch, that helps him overcome his nature, that helps him take control of his behavior, it helps him behave in the fashion that he believes he should be behaving. Ve'im dikduk adin mishmirat ha'Shulchan Aruch. And if being careful to do the law in accordance with its details, live in accordance with the Shulchan Aruch, hem ha'emtza'im ha'yoter nochim, these are the tools that are easier, more comfortable, v'yoter mo'ilim, and they are more effective. L'tikun ha'midot b'derech klal, they help a person in general fix their traits. If I'm going to work with the system, and he's going to elaborate in a second, od yosifu liyot mazor, beyond that, they are also a balm, a cure. Mazor is when you put a bandage with a balm, with a healing, some type of medication. So the observance of the Shulchan Aruch is also that balm, lechol balm, B-A-L-M, not B-O-M-B, yes? Balm, yes. Od yosifu liyot mazor lechol midah, Mushchata bederch prati. They also help a person fix every specific decrepit trait that one might have. Kumo, for example, hergel savlanut. One who learns Shulchan Aruch learns that he must gain the habit of being patient. You understand from Shulchan Aruch that there are times you must be patient. Let's take an example. You finished Shmona Esrei, and the rest of the people did not. You want to move on with your life, and the rest of the people are not yet holding there. What do you do now? So one guy takes out his phone and starts watching a movie and distracting the whole shul, but it's on silent. Come on, what are you doing in a shul? Who takes out a phone in the middle of the shul? So the next guy takes out a sefer. But when the chazan begins, do you put down the sefer? Or are you still looking at the sefer? So the halacha trains us to have patience. It's not my second nature. A guy walks into a shul, a minion factory, what they call a shtibel. So he sees he's 10 minutes late for the minion he wanted to come to. He's walked through the door at 8:10. The minion started at 8. At 8:15, another minion begins. Which one should he go to? We all know he should put on his tefillin calmly and attend the 8:15 minyan with kavanah. Which one do most people go to? Let's go for that 8 o'clock. What do you mean? I just saved 10 minutes. I could wrap on my tefillin and get in there just in time for Shmona Esrei. Come on, I'll be out of here at 8:25. Perfect. I'm going to wait for the 8:15. They're only going to reach Baruch Hu at 8:30. Ah. So when I learn halacha, it trains me to be a more patient person. The halacha trains us. And when we live our life in accordance with halacha, we learn patience. Do you cut in line? No. Because it's a chil Hashem. By what right can I cut other people? Hamrapa lakas v'kapdanut. So if I've learned halacha, then I also learn about patience. And if I've learned about patience, then I have cured my anger. I have cured my being a kapdan. Kapdan is a person, I don't know the equivalent word in English, but it's a person who takes you to task precise. Over every little thing. Precise. It's precise, but it's precise in a way that if you didn't do it exactly right, he'll always call you on it. Every little thing, you know, you walk next to his door and you squeak the chair, he's going to come out and say, why are you waking me in the middle of the night? That's a kapdan. Every little thing he takes you to task over. So people have that trait, and they call it, I'm a perfectionist. Be a perfectionist about yourself. What do you mean? So the guy walked down the hall and he bumped into the chairs. Now you're going to come out and yell at him? That's not called being a perfectionist. But how do I overcome it? So when I learn halacha, and then I'm forced to be more patient, so then that patience helps me overcome my anger. It helps me overcome my being a kapdan, a person who has no patience for others. Hergel azrizut. Another thing halacha teaches us is to be swift. So if I'm going to bake matzahs, I have to be quick about it. I was once on a matzah baking team. I wouldn't eat those matzahs. I tried, but I'm not good at it. I got to work harder. I got to know how to, I got to put more oomph into it. Tried. I'm not, you know, but if I would work, if I would really invest a few weeks preparing, then maybe I could do it right. Maybe, and maybe not. Maybe I'm not built for it. But the halacha teaches us to be swift. You like it, you don't like it. You have a time frame, you got to get it done. You didn't get it done, goodbye. Your matzahs are gone. So the halacha will sometimes teach us to be swift. It says in the morning, you should get out of bed, eat gaber kari, get up like a lion. So you know what they say. You guys visit the zoo lately? The lion's lying there like he's dead. The kids were wondering if he's alive or dead. So some wise Alex said, Nu, the halacha says, get up like a lion. Look at him. That's what I look like in the morning too. I'm doing that. Right? No, a real lion is not going to get up like that. We're supposed to be quick about the things we have to accomplish. Okay, so halacha is going to teach me the habit of being swift. You know, the halacha goes down to the details. When we do hagba, and then we do glila, we roll up the Sefer Torah, and then the person's supposed to start the haftarah on a Shabbos, right? So the halacha says, wait till the person who did hagba and glila can go back to his seat, because otherwise it's not fair. You're starting the haftarah, and he's rushed back to his seat. But that means the halacha expected you not to have a gap in shul of another 2 seconds. There isn't supposed to be silent time. Be quick, no. Don't be that quick that it's inconsiderate. But once the guy has time to get back to his seat, you start the haftarah. Now, the halacha covers, the halacha assumes that when you call someone up for an aliyah, then he'll be there within a second or two. That's why you notice the custom after a person gets an aliyah, he stands up there and he only goes back to his seat later, because the assumption is that things are running so quickly in the shul that if he would try to go back to his seat after his aliyah, he wouldn't make it back in time. So we say he'll go back while you call up the next guy. Or while the next guy does, you know, he finishes his blessing. But the assumption is who has time? Shul runs like clockwork. So again, the halacha gives us the habit of being swift people. Hamagapa la'atzlut. So that's a cure for laziness. One of the great boons of our society. I'll prove to you people are lazy. There's this thing called Facebook. I don't know if you guys heard of it. You know, it's a website, Facebook, where people post things that don't last for longer than about an hour, at best. If you haven't had enough friends, it doesn't exist. Right? Boom, your feed keeps switching. Because nothing matters. But, so why are you writing it? Why is it up there? Laziness. There's nothing, no real meaning. People don't even believe there's meaning in what they're posting on Facebook because no one can find it. In an hour or two, it's gone. So what was the point? And whoever didn't happen to be on their phone that split second where you posted it, so it's, they're never going to see it on their feed because there are 500 other friends who put all kinds of other nonsense out there. So people are lazy. People are willing to waste time. People sit down in front of the computer. Now what? I don't know. That's laziness. That's not being productive. So how do we overcome that? When you've got to get things done. Get things done. If you have a list, you know what you want to accomplish. You have a goal in the beginning of the day. You know where you want to go. Okay, halacha trains us to be swift, which helps us overcome our laziness. Ve'adishut. Adishut means people don't care. You guys ever see that t-shirt? I don't care. It's a very bad t-shirt. You should care. We believe that adishut, not caring, is a weakness. It's a fault in one's personality. You should care. How could you not care? But it goes hand in hand with laziness. It goes hand in hand. The two traits interlock. Caring would mean I have to do something. And if I don't want to do anything, then the easiest thing is not to care. So it goes hand in hand. But you know what? When the halacha trains us to be swift people, it's helping us overcome both. Hergel kabbalat habizayon. The halacha makes us, forces us to develop the habit that even if someone's embarrassing me, I accept it. So your parent yells at you, and you're tempted to yell back. But Kibbut Avim says you're not supposed to yell back. And there are going to be many examples of that. So there are situations where the halacha says, it's not comfortable, it's not fun, but you got to live with it and move on. So there's the concept where the halacha trains us to accept shameful circumstances. And that helps cure us our tendency to always be in pursuit of honor. What's everyone thinking of me? Everyone's busy wondering what's everyone else thinking of them. Why? You know why most people don't get wealthy? It's not because they don't make enough. It's because they spend too much. Again, why don't most people get wealthy? It's because they spend too much, not because they don't make enough. And why do people spend too much? Because they're too busy with the question of what is everyone else thinking of me. We had a neighbor named Harry Goders, Zichrono Livracha. He used to say, people buy things they don't need to impress people they don't like with money they don't have. But it's true. So one of our weaknesses that really prevent people from advancing is that pursuit of honor. Do you really need a fancy car? Why? You know, I know a wealthy person once said, he said, you know, if I have more money, I'll eat with two forks at a time. I still have only one mouth. So that pursuit of honor really undermines people's advancement in life. The Talmud words it as, the poor never become wealthy because the poor believe they will never become wealthy. So they allow themselves to squander what they could otherwise save and invest. A person doesn't bother investing. Why? If I don't believe I'll ever get anywhere. Comes the halacha and says, you don't have to pursue honor. It isn't so important what your neighbor thinks. You don't have to be worried about impressing him. You have to be worried about doing what's right. If that's the case, then I don't have to waste money. I don't have to waste money. So that, how do I develop that trait? When the halacha tells me there are instances where I have to swallow my pride, so then the halacha is helping me overcome that tendency to pursue honor. Ki hamdakdek b'masav, when a person is careful in his behavior, konek inyan adil v'chazak le'avat ha'dikduk ha'avat olam, a person develops a love, a tremendous connection to being an exact person. This is a trait a person can develop. And a person develops that love for getting it right. Now, this is not, we're not talking about being machmir. Don't mishear what the Chazon Ish said. Sometimes people don't bother verifying what the halacha wants of them, and they just say, I'll be machmir. That's not what he said. He said, understand what the halacha wants and do it right. And the more you understand, the more you understand that there are leniencies. You don't got to do everything in the most difficult way, but get it right. Get it right means let me verify, let me ask a shayla, let me find out. And the Chazon Ish ends with a very powerful point. I thought this point only started with the advent of that program we spoke about earlier, Facebook. You heard of that, yeah? So he says, when you develop an affinity, a connection for this perfection, you want to get it right, you want to do what's right, so then what other people say matters less. And even though you have people standing in your way, you know who they are? They're your childhood friends. Your childhood friends are looking at you and saying, you're doing what? Now I feel uncomfortable saying this in front of you guys because every one of you overcame this obstacle more than I did. You know, but for many people, this is a great obstacle. I always say in the tshuva process, there is a moment where if a person does this at the right time, if a person doesn't jump into it, but if a person does this at the right time, that they either close their Facebook account, or they start a new Facebook account, or they remove certain friends from their Facebook account, there is a moment when a person says, I'm moving on, and I'm not taking certain things with me. Now, I'm not saying anyone should do that. You got to be holding there where it's real, where you don't feel compelled to do it, you feel natural doing it. A person shouldn't force himself. But at the end of the day, a person can be very uncomfortable. And sometimes uncomfortable about doing what's right. Everyone knows we have those friends where we had a good time doing what was wrong. Those are the friends we had a good time doing together, things which today we understand we shouldn't have done. So if I hold on to that, they get in my way. But the more I develop a love for what's right and getting it accurately right, the more I can move forward and not be concerned with what all those people are going to say. So that brings us to the conclusion of this section.